first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour on this Thursday morning. We do appreciate you listening, as always. Still to come on the program here in about 30 minutes, Paul DeMarco, Republican Party Chairman in Jefferson County and former state legislator, top pardons and paroles, particularly now with a new ADOC commissioner about to come in. And then in the bottom of the hour, State Representative Wes Allen, running for Secretary of State here in Alabama, will join us. We'll talk about a couple of his pre-filed bills and his campaign thus far. So please stay tuned for that. As always, 251-343-0106. If you want to tell me how wrong I am that Westmobile is culturally superior to downtown, feel free to do so. I just need a good laugh this morning. What do you think the U.S. should do with regards to Ukraine and Russia? Those are two outstanding questions we have. But joining us now on the program, always pleased to bring this next gentleman on, a very fine individual, and always glad he can make time for us, Congressman Mo Brooks from the 5th Congressional District in Alabama, running for United States Senate. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How about yourself, Jeff?
Doing well, staying busy, but I guess it's good to be in this business anyway. Well, speaking of staying busy, how is the campaign going? How are things going to date?
It's going very well. Four polls I'm aware of have come out in the last 3 or 4 weeks that show us up anywhere from 6 to 7 points on the low side to 16, 17, 18 points on the high side. Of course, with all these polls, I try to emphasize, you know, they're little glips at a moment in time, like a football game where you pick on one play and try to guess from that one play who's won the game. It just doesn't work that way. These polls will become more important when you get to April or May, but in the meantime, they're pretty good for entertainment.
Do you still think it's this we're really looking at maybe the beginning of 2022 when the campaign really starts to heat up, that right now we're doing a lot of blocking and tackling on the necessary things you would do in a United States Senate run, but the real action begins a little bit later?
The most intense part will be probably in the 6 weeks before May 24th. That will be after March Madness has concluded. In Alabama, we like our sports. We also like our Christmas. We like our New Year's. And so people are going to be focused on different things for the rest of December. They're going to be focused on college football and maybe some basketball during January. And of course, the weather always comes into play. But once you get into that 6 to 8 weeks before the election, that's when the public starts focusing on it a much greater degree, far more so than, say, you in your job as a radio talk show host, or me in my job as United States Congressman or a United States Senate candidate.
Congressman, let me ask you this. You ran in 2017 for U.S. Senate, and I know the circumstances were very different, but compare that run to this run thus far. You had a lot of the same hurdles. I would just say, you know, the same people that had backed Luther Strange back then seemed to be backing one of your opponents, Katie Britt. I think you could document that pretty well. But have things changed in that short amount of time that much since you last ran?
Oh, absolutely. My name identification is in the 80 to 90% range. People are familiar with me. Perhaps more importantly, they're also familiar with my willingness to fight for our values in Washington, D.C., and the Alabama public by and large, on the Republican side in particular. They don't want the socialist march on America to succeed, and they want someone who will do whatever it takes to defeat socialism in America. So that's a big difference. Another big difference is Roy Moore is not on the ballot this time. In 2017, he was fairly popular and did well. As you know, he became the Republican nominee. You're right about Katie Britt and Luther Strange. Luther Strange was the establishment special interest group candidate back in 2017, and right now it's quite clear that Katie Britt is the establishment Mitch McConnell candidate, the special interest group candidate, and of course both of those forces are pouring millions of dollars into her effort to prevail. We'll see how all that plays out. The public's going to have a real clear choice between a proven conservative and another Mitch McConnell-type establishment senator.
Yeah, and you watch how this is the race, I think, has tightened. Were you anticipating how much this, at some point that she was going to make a – going offense, and I don't know if she's gone on offense, but spending money, name ID, the billboards, all that. Were you anticipating this kind of a process?
Absolutely. We knew early on that we would start out with a big lead, that lead would diminish in size as the special interest groups, as Mitch McConnell and those types of forces started influencing Alabama public opinion with the millions of dollars that they're going to put into this race. Let's face it, Mitch McConnell does not like principled conservatives. He does not want a principled conservative in the United States Senate. He does not like House Freedom Caucus folks, because we tend to stick to our beliefs. We take our campaign promises with us once we're sworn into office, and we tend to keep our campaign promises. Mitch McConnell and his folks, they like people who are a lot more flexible, special interest groups. They like people who are a lot more flexible, that the money will influence them and for their special interest group purposes. And so we anticipated that the lead would slowly but surely get smaller. I think what you're going to see is it tighten up even more. It's going to be a real horse race through probably February or March, then sometime in April or May, when the contrast amongst the different candidates become crystal clear, then I think you're going to see us do very well. And I'll give you an example of one of those contrasts. We've got Doug Jones. Doug Jones, pro-abortion. Doug Jones, pro-amnesty. Doug Jones, pro-Obamacare. Doug Jones, anti-Donald Trump. Doug Jones voted to impeach Donald Trump. Doug Jones was opposed to our conservative Supreme Court justices. I'm the only candidate in this race who actually voted against Doug Jones in 2017. That's huge. And I just don't see our Republican Party wanting to nominate as our Republican representative someone who did not support the 650,000 Alabama voters who voted against Doug Jones in December of 2017 and tried to keep him from being a very liberal Democrat senator from Ruby Red, Alabama. And I'm the only one who voted against Doug Jones in December of 2017.
But you would acknowledge...
I don't know if you're aware of that.
No, I am aware of that. You would acknowledge there were some flaws with the Roy Moore candidacy, though, right?
Roy Moore would have voted correctly on pro-life. Roy Moore would have voted correctly on Obamacare. Roy Moore would have voted correctly on our Supreme Court justices. Roy Moore, in my judgment, would not have voted to impeach Donald Trump. And we want our Republicans to start sticking together as the Democrats do. That's why the Democrats are being successful with their socialist march on America. They are sticking together like glue. We cannot have, as our Republican nominee, someone who flakes so easily when so many important national issues are at stake. Keeping in mind that with Obamacare, Doug Jones was a swing vote. Remember, initially it was John McCain. John McCain passed away. John Kyle was appointed to replace him. In 2018, but for these Republicans, you know the few I'm talking about, that encouraged our Republicans to not vote or to write in somebody else's name, we would have had the votes to repeal Obamacare. There are serious consequences to what happened in December of 2017, and they had a major effect on our country going forward. And we cannot have, as our Republican nominee, someone who is unwilling to fight for our values, unless personality disagreements or what have you interfere with the public policy issues that we have taken strong stances on.
I think what I hear you say it is you should have been the nominee in 2017, perhaps, and not Luther Strange and or...
Well, I would have loved that, but the voters chose otherwise, and you have to respect the will of the voters.
Do you find you struggled in the south of the Tennessee River there? Well, I don't know if struggle is the right word, but certainly struggled in some parts in the state. Do you find that you're improving in those places?
Oh, absolutely. Mobile Bay Area, by way of example, is one of our strongest regions in the state of Alabama.
So, I would argue, just kind of being down here, I think this area is up for grabs. I don't really, there's some pockets of Mobile in Baldwin counties that you see a lot of yard signs, but it just feels to me that this is a place that is going to be contested. Is that your view as well?
Well, every part of the state of Alabama is going to be contested. So, in that sense, yes. Keeping in mind that, because of our limited resources, because I'm not the special interest group darling okay? We have to hold on to our resources, our money, until we get closer to the election, because we just don't have as much to spend. We don't want to spend it now and not have it available in March, April, and May. But by way of example, we've got over 1,500 volunteers across the state who have signed up to help our campaign. That's a big number.
Yes. Joined by Congressman Mo Brooks here on the program. Let's shift to something else here. NDAA vote. You came out, and I guess some of the objectionable stuff in the NDAA was taken out. Walk us through that process. You were a no vote initially on the floor, but then you got to something that was acceptable for you. Is that
sure? We had three different bills. We had the bill that was passed by the House Armed Services Committee. Then we had the bill that was voted on and was passed by the House of Representatives. Then we had the conference committee report, which was our Republican and Democrat conferees in the House and the Senate come together and put together the final bill, okay? The committee bill was different from the floor vote bill, the Nancy Pelosi House floor vote bill, which was different than the conference committee bill. So you have to weigh the pros and cons of the differences of each bills. I am very proud that I stood with the majority of the Alabama Republican delegation, Robert Aderholt, Barry Moore, and Gary Palmer, and voted against Nancy Pelosi's version of the NDAA on the House floor. That, in turn, all those no votes, empowered our conference committee representatives to try to get rid of some of the more egregious things that Nancy Pelosi had put in the NDAA. By way of example, Nancy Pelosi wanted to require teenage girls to register for the draft. Nancy Pelosi was attacking the Second Amendment by a red flag law. Nancy Pelosi was promoting unionization in the national defense industry. Nancy Pelosi wanted a George Orwell 1984-style office of extremism that would likely target conservatives for the legitimately held political beliefs, and the list just goes on and on. Because we stood strong, Robert Aderholt, Barry Moore, Gary Palmer, and myself, and roughly 100 other congressmen, on the House floor vote on Nancy Pelosi's version of the NDAA, we were able to strip each of those provisions from the NDAA in conference committee. Now, if all of us had voted for Nancy Pelosi's NDAA, there'd have been much less pressure or inducement or willingness for the Republican conferees in the conference committee to remove these very onerous provisions from the NDAA. So it was a huge victory for us conservatives. We made the NDA a whole lot better, but to do that, we had to catch the heat from voting no in September on the House floor.
What about in committee, Armed Services Committee? Where were you on that bill? Was it different from the bill that was considered on the floor?
Yes, it was different, substantially different. I don't know the exact number of amendments, but on the House floor, there probably were 100 or 150 amendments, somewhere in that ballpark, to the committee bill, but there's a very important distinction to make. When you vote in the committee, that's to send it to the House floor, okay? You may like it or dislike it, but you can agree to send it to the House floor for further debate. But when you vote on the House floor, that could be the final vote you get. There is no guarantee that you're going to ever get another vote on the NDAA because the Senate may adopt it as is. And so with there being a risk of it being the final and last vote for passage of something as important as the NDAA, it's got to be right. There may not be a second chance to fix it. And so that's the distinction between a vote on committee to allow the bill to get to the House floor where you can have more substantive debate, and voting on the House floor where you may never see it again.
Congressman, we'll get you out of here on this. One of the more popular pieces of content at Breitbart News was over the last few days was you called for a full select committee investigation into Hunter Biden. It's remarkable. It seems like a no-brainer to me that Republicans would somebody should have already called for this, but you were the one to say this, and you said it publicly. And I at least from our neck of the woods and conservative media, it's being well received, and a lot of people would like to see that. But elaborate on that a little bit, if you would.
Sure. If Jeff Poore were to do art like Hunter Biden, if I were to do art like Hunter Biden, we might could sell it for $50 or $100, maybe if we're lucky, $150 or $200. Hunter Biden is selling that so-called art for tens of thousands of dollars. And keep in mind that he's already been plagued with past ethical lapses where he traded off his father's name while he was vice president of the United States, perhaps even while he was senator in the United States Senate. And those kinds of ethical lapses where he puts his own personal pocketbook ahead of the interests of the United States of America, those things need to be examined. Now, unfortunately, we can't do it right now because the House is controlled by Nancy Pelosi, and she's not going to allow a committee to have an investigative hearing on that. Neither are they going to allow that in the Senate where Chuck Schumer's in control. But I can promise you this, if we take control of the United States Senate, and I'm cautiously optimistic we're going to, and I can get on the committee or perhaps chairman of the subcommittee that would handle this type of investigation, I'm going to call for an investigation of Hunter Biden, and there needs to be some light shed on the nepotism on the one hand or the unethical conduct, the unjust enrichment on the other hand, where he seems to be marketing access to the Biden family via the sale of art that's not worth very much, but he's getting paid tens of thousands of dollars for it.
Congressman, you're very kind to make time for us. If folks want to find out more about your campaign, tell them where to go.
Go to mobrooks.com. As I mentioned, we've already got 1,500 volunteers who have signed up. You too can join our team as we fight for America first.
Congressman, we appreciate it. Let's talk again soon.
All right. My pleasure. Take care.
That's Congressman Mo Brooks running for United States Senate here in Alabama. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
She said that all the railroad men just drink up your blood like wine.